Hey guys, real quick, before we get into the episode, I just wanted to point out that we did have some audio issues on this one, at Texas 2K. Unfortunately, the backup of the backup of the backup failed, so it does start to sound a little rough a few minutes in, but nonetheless, it was a great episode. Hopefully, I cleaned it up enough to be somewhat tolerable to listen to, but nonetheless, I appreciate the support, so let's get to it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Monoxide Podcast. I'm your host, Harris, a.k.a. Monoxide, man of many automotive aspirations. And today, we are going beyond the meat with Kevin Von Boris. Did I nail it?
Van.
I knew I was going to mess something up.
Too much pressure.
And then, of course, I'm here with my lovely co-host, Dan, a.k.a. Gunna Garage.
Yep. Hi. How's it going? I'm going to be real slow today. This isn't like PRI. This has been rough this week. So...
yeah, PRI put us through hell. That was a rough one. We did multiple podcasts down in Indy.
That's cool, though.
We had to go across the entire stadium.
It's on my list to go, hopefully, next year.
So. Dude, it's awesome. There's a lot of... I saw the Scrap Life Garage Demon over there.
Yeah.
That was really cool to see in person. Yeah. Because the videos don't show texture.
No. Yeah, actually, we caught on fire. That's cool. Yeah.
And you're doing something with the demons. I was going to rattle it off from what I know about you, and then we'll go from there. So go I know you're an entrepreneur, gym owner.
Yeah.
Got that right.
Yep.
I know you're working on a wrecked demon of some kind.
Yep.
You're just an overall Mopar guy. I've been seeing your Trackhawk on my Instagram for years.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a Trackhawk, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to double check it wasn't an SRT.
You're good.
Yeah. But you've done a number of fun things. There's a lot of different places we can start. But since we're here at Texas 2K, let's just start off with that. How'd it go?
So far, it's good. Fastest is 920. The air yesterday was like 3100 DA, if you know anything about density altitude, it wasn't very good. But so for a stock car, I'm super happy with how it's doing. Mm-hmm. So it can go a little bit faster, but I mean, for a stock car, it's cool. So
I know though, so you're the first demon that's bagged as well, though, right?
Probably going to be the only one. Probably the only one, because I'm the only idiot dumb enough to do it, but yeah. So.
But still, running 9 seconds on a bagged car is, it's pretty...
No, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a Charger before this, like 3 years ago. I went eights on bags.
Sorry about that. We had another technical error. It's been about 15 episodes since one of these, but nonetheless, back to the show.
Yeah. So you were talking about moving back to the Dodge struts.
So I'm going to use the OEM struts just because I talked to one of the engineers, and that's what the whole deal with the 170 is, the struts. On the original Demon, it was the springs, so... taking out the struts wouldn't do much. This one, I'm going to throw the struts back in and see kind of what the difference is. Okay. But, like, it hooks just fine. I cut 1.2s in it, like, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. Well, I blame Texas for all my my IT problems, man.
That's fine.
It's okay. But nonetheless, okay, so we touched on a number of topics. I know, so we touched on a Demon Texas 2K. So, yeah, you guys are a sponsor here at events. So you guys had a kick-ass drink here. So I know it's not car related, but I do want to talk about it because it was really good.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
I'm a huge energy drink person. Like, I drink several a day. I've always, for years, I don't know about you guys, I hate coffee. Like, I don't like it.
Yeah,
I've tried it hot, cold. So in my head, I'm like, I should just figure out something that I could sell in the future. So we started selling them at my gym, and I wanted to do a non-carbonated, so that way, like, you could sip on it throughout the day and not lose any flavor. That's the only thing I don't like about energy drinks is, like, they're good, but they last, like, I don't know, if it's hot outside, it's like 10 minutes.
It's not something you want to slam at, like, 200 or 300 milligrams of caffeine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's literally where it came from.
And then we've been selling them at my gym for over 2 years, and I was like, well, let's take them to 2K, and let's just see what, like, normal, everyday people think. And then if they like them, then I'll move to the next step. So yeah.
I'm curious, what did you guys use for? I'm not gonna go too in depth. What did you guys use for a sweetener in there?
It depends. Some of them are sweetened with like Splenda or Stevia.
Okay.
It depends on the kind of the flavor. So it's all like no calories, no sugar, anything, which is obviously like I'm in a gym and I don't like drinking calories anyways. So I'll drink diet stuff all the time. But yeah, that's the whole point of it. So. And a lot of people like it, which is cool. So, like, we, in our gym, you could buy, like, a 32-ounce, like, drink if you wanted out of it. You can get it with or without caffeine, so, like, if you just want something, like, refreshing, you just get something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of like a brewery, right? You go in and get
kind of. Yeah. For energy drinks?
Yeah.
That was nice to come around here. And you know, your demon parked over just slammed. Like, we were coming in here, and everybody just got here. And you said stock, but, like, you got the carbon door panels.
Right.
What else?
Um, No, so I have the, we put on the carbon doors and the carbon lid probably a couple days ago.
Sorry, your cover is...
Oh, the biggest.
That's fine.
Yeah.
yeah, put the carbon doors and the carbon trunk lid on like only a few days ago. So I did that, did a race seat, a tilted race seat, just like old biker guys, and then put on air ride suspension, then TBM brakes, and then 15-inch ball axe all the way around, and that's pretty much it. So from a suspension standpoint, no, it's not stock, but from an engine, transmission, ECU,
yeah,
it's all stock.
I'm curious, so you had the original engine too, right? How does it compare?
Not
is it just faster?
It's literally not even the same.
Really?
Yeah. It feels like you're driving a very heavily modded Hellcat or heavily modded. So even the transmission is way different, like it like downshifts, like it chops, like hard. So it's super nice, like, you just rip it, it's really fast. I was kind of surprised. So,
yeah, did you do a lot of stuff on the street? Like, just shaking it down?
Not really, like, literally, we got at the dealership, I drove it to my brother's shop, and we literally started ripping it apart. So,
yeah.
Because I've already done all that. I've been to Hellcat Miller, I've done all that stuff, so I already know how it all works. So I was like, I don't need to do anything on the street, I'm just going to go and start. So, I probably should have, like, taken to the track stock, see what I can do and go from there. But
that's boring.
And I was like, we have 2K coming up, and I've got streetcar takeover stuff. So I was like, I don't have time to wait. So I was like, let's just get it done.
Well, it's good marketing, too.
It is.
Like a slam demon. It just doesn't, it defeats the purpose of anything.
Correct.
But from my understanding, it's still performing decently well.
Viper guys are going to lose their mind in the summer.
What's that?
I said Viper guys are going to lose their mind when I bang one.
Yeah, because you still have Viper too, right?
I do.
The white one.
Yeah, it's
my gotcha.
White. So.
Is that the only Viper you had?
I had a black one before, it was just a base model, but during COVID I had to get rid of it because I didn't know what was going to happen. Like,
yeah.
They were shutting down gyms and all this other stuff, and I'm like, I got to unload it just because no idea what's going to happen. And then I told myself, I was like, if I ever can get another one, I'll get one. So that's what I got.
No, I enjoy it. Seriously, you have white wheels on here, right? White on white?
Miami Vice style.
Yeah, it's good. I'm thinking about doing the same thing with my GTI. We're doing a whole race livery coming up soon. Just motor rally we're doing up
that's
north.
Cool.
It's difficult. White's a tough one.
I told people I was going to do white on white, and they're like, you're nuts. And then we did it, and I was like, damn, it actually go a lot better than I thought.
How's it to maintain, though?
Again, I had ceramic coating. Because I have a detail shop in my gym, so I kind of I get spoiled by that. So, like, you know, just ceramic on the wheels. And you're good.
Is that your detail shop?
Yeah.
Okay, and then so you do run that as like a business or just personal?
It's all under the same roof. So
okay.
We have the cafe where we do like food, drinks, and stuff. And then
I saw
Yeah, we got a barber shop and we got the detail shop. So pretty much like an all in one inclusive thing.
So you could come in, drop your car, get a cut,
get
the gym. Wow, that's a good concept.
I wanted when I made the gym, I wanted to do something no one's ever done before.
Yeah.
So
have you always been a part of, I don't want to butcher this, people are going to hate me, is it Amarillo?
Amarillo? No, I'm from California originally.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got an interesting story, so.
Okay, I'll let you go.
If you want me to tell, I'll
tell
you.
Yeah,
let's
hear
it. Oh, God. Okay. I went to college, played club soccer, dropped out.
Soccer, okay.
Yep, I played soccer for like 20 years, dropped out. Went back to college, dropped out again. Was in the real world, I was like, I got to get my shit together. Like, I don't know how people do this. I was doing power washing, and I was a janitor, like literally picking up people's trash and stuff at a lawyer's office. And I couldn't even make enough money, so I would like, this sounds so weird. I haven't talked about it in a while, but I would collect cans from the trash cans, and I would use that to pay for my gas to go to work. So all the stuff you see me have now, like it's really just from hard work, and I didn't have rich parents or anything like that. So then I went to Amarillo because it was the only spot that would, for college football. Like when you start as a freshman, your D1 clock starts. So you're 5 years old. If you go to Division II, Division III, you could play 50 if you wanted to. It doesn't have to be consecutive. So I was trying to look for a spot that put the most people in the NFL. Went to Amarillo. I was all American, all that good stuff. I was training in California to go to the NFL. And I was interning my junior year at one of the local gyms to see if I wanted to do personal training, strength conditioning, if I wanted to go to med school, like whatever I wanted to do. And then I really like personal training, so when I was training for the NFL, I went back to Amarillo just to go back to where my current wife is now. And some of my old clients are like, hey, you want to make some money? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm broke. Like, I just graduated. Of course, I want to make some extra money. I started training and then literally just snowballed from there. So I worked at a gym for about 10 months in Amarillo and then opened up a small 900 square foot gym. And about 6 months later, we started working on my current gym, which is 37,000 square feet. And that's cool.
Yeah. That's a big point.
It is. It took about 4.5 years to start from bidding to him as far as like starting design all that to actual opening. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're kind of just kind of planning in the background that he finally opened it. It wasn't like kind of going along the way.
No, it was never like part of the plan. Like my original plan was I was going to move to Las Vegas or LA because I got a really good job opportunity before I went back to Amarillo to go work at the same gym that Kobe Bryant used to train out of. Okay. So I was going to train like high-end athletes, movie stars, something like that, or in Vegas if you'd say the concept. Mm-hmm. I just happened to go back to Amarillo because I was like, well, I'm going to learn making money. So, and then it just fell off from there. So,
well, figuring out how to make money, especially when things are not going easy, that's kind of the direction people tend to go to. Like, they find a side hustle, get really good at it, and then it snowballs from there.
It literally does, yeah. Like, it was not part of the plan, but, you know, plans are meant to be changed. That's
what I'm talking about. People might not be a soccer player. Like, you don't have a frame of a soccer player.
Yeah. No, I used to play soccer for 20 years, so I kicked and punted in college. I know, obviously, I don't look like it now, but, but yeah, I was always, like, into lifting. So, yeah, it was all American, all good stuff. And then, the cool part is Canadian Football League called me 2 weeks before I opened my small gym and said, we'll pay you $50,000 a year if you want to come play in the Canada League. And I was like, do I open my gym or do I go play professionally, which is my goal? I chose the gym. To me, it was a better choice anyways because it wasn't the NFL. Could I have went from the NFL to the Canadian League? Probably, but it wasn't my goal. And obviously, now I'm happier because I wouldn't have this giant gym.
Right. So. What about, was it Canadian dollars?
No, it was American.
American dollars? Okay, so double check.
It was American. Yeah, that would be very much.
So then you got to move to Canada too, I assume.
Say it again?
Then you got to move to Canada as
So it was this whole thing and I was like, I'm just going to open my small gym. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what about your car background then? We kind of talked about it before, we had a million technical issues, but, you know, I've grown up a Mopar guy.
Yeah.
This guy's a Ford guy. It makes it exhausting to travel with sometimes. But were you always Mopar early on?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've always liked Mopar stuff. And don't get me wrong, I like Fords, I like Chevy, but I'm a diehard Mopar person for sure. Yeah. And I have a Viper only because when I didn't have any money and I was trying to do a side hustle, I would literally wash and detail cars. Like the first high end in quotation marks car I did was a Gen 2 Viper. I didn't know it was Gen 2 at the time. And I was like, what the hell is that? Guy showed me around, turned on the exhaust. It had a Borla exhaust, so it was not a shit. And ever since then, I was like, whenever I get money, I'm going to get one of those. So it's just it's always been a dream car. It's always been the Viper's car.
Yeah, for me, it's always been I played the Comp Coupe in Gran Turismo.
Back
when I was a kid. Basically, the spec of Juggernaut.
Right.
It's like that. And when I saw that, I'm like, that's perfection.
Exactly. I'm a huge Gen 2, Gen 5, obviously.
Yeah.
I know. Everything else, I'm like, but Gen 2, Gen 5, that's where it's at for me.
Everybody mocks the Gen 3 as kind of like a redheaded stepchild, but if I choose between all of them, Gen 1 would probably be at the bottom of the 5 for me.
Okay.
It's the OG.
Yeah.
But my preference, the 2 and the 5 is
almost 2 and 5, yeah. I would put 3 at the bottom, probably 1 and then 4. Uh-huh. I like the 4s.
I love the Fours.
Yeah.
One of our previous guests, he had a Gen 4 ACR, and that was the first time in the Viper.
No way.
Super cool. We were doing some filming or whatever. He's like, don't burn your leg on the exhaust.
Yeah.
Yes. So I was like, whatever. But Dan's eyes are glazing over talking about Dodge.
Well, you know, the Viper, at least I can get behind. I do like Dodge, but that was a car that Shelby had a hand in. So if you burned your leg on the exhaust, Shelby would call it a snake bite. That's what he calls those. So.
It's that brand name.
Yeah.
So then, speaking of that, what about your demon? Because I don't know much of the story here. I have been keeping up with that aspect. So what was the story with that?
The original one?
I guess we started that, and then also the current one is your rebuild. The yellow one.
Yeah, the yellow one. The original one.
Oh, is that?
I call it the OG one. The original one. So, I don't know how this happened. Usually I have it in the shop in my house, right? It's in the back. I pulled it out because I was driving to work that day. I parked it in my garage. I was getting my garage remodeled. So the dude's like, can you just pull it out of the driveway? Like, what are we doing? Pull out the driveway. I've got like a 30-foot driveway. Some dude was doing drugs and fell asleep at the wheel. And you can see on my like Vivint camera, like the moment he falls asleep at the wheel, he like curves off. And he's going like 45 or 50 to just T-bone smack dab in the middle.
In your driveway?
In my driveway.
Holy shit.
Like, I don't know what the odds are of that happening, but yeah. So I remember like the guy called me. He's like, hey, somebody wrecked your Hellcat. I was like, Hellcat? Like at the time I was like, my Hellcat was in Oklahoma getting fixed. I'm like, Hellcat? What are you talking? So I like pulled up my phone. I was like, oh, fuck. And like, I was training one of my clients. I was like, I gotta go. And then we went to my house, and my brother almost murdered the guy because he was like out of it. He was like,
oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so that's what happened. So,
especially when you see one, like if it had gone to auction or whatever, you see one wrecked, you just assume that it was a driver mod problem.
Yeah, no,
you know?
Not this one.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, the demon, some of those harness bars, you know? So, like, if it wouldn't have been there, the whole, it would have, like, been cut in half. So that thing actually, like, stopped it from actually taking out the whole car. But, finally, I've been on the fence of like, do I fix it, do I not fix it? So 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, I took it to Countryside Customs in Chicago. And it'll be done probably around June or July. They gotta repaint the whole car. So, yeah, it's getting there. It's straight now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Was it an insurance buyback thing, or they're fixed it, yeah?
Yeah, because they were like, do you want to buy it back? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't, you know, I can't replace it. Like, my name's on the dash. Like, I expected. So that was the whole thing.
Okay.
You don't have to disclose it, but what did you get back for?
I think they totaled it out for like 110. I bought it for like 89.
Wow. It's still a sizable amount.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
So then obviously I had to buy it back. I think they sold it to me for like 65 or 70.
Okay.
Whatever like the bottom option number was gonna be. So not bad.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to make sure like it was worth like more than what I paid, obviously.
Right.
It's a limited production car, so. But it's hard because insurance people don't understand that.
Right. Well, yeah. It's stuff we have your name on dash too. Like a mutual friend of ours like sold his and it's like my name's on that dash.
Yeah, if it was just like a normal car, like a Hellcat or something that I didn't spec out, it'd be different. But yeah, my name is literally on the dash. So it was like
You got non-Dodge guy. You had to tell me what's going on. So if you ordered one, that you could have gotten your name, like a nameplate, and they put your name on.
For the
for the
demons, yeah. So they put your name like on the dash. So like on the 170, I have you call the concierge, and then you can put whatever you want. It's kind of like the 101 Viper program where you put your name or you put like whatever you want on it. So yeah, that's why I just put my last name on it on this one. And then it's cool because it's matching VINs, so they have the same VIN number.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, at the event that we were at here, what was it, the Legion of Demons event? I think so.
Yeah.
There was a guy selling the two matching ones. Did
you
see that? That was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... And those would be... I don't think right now interest rates, obviously the economy is not great, but in like 5 years, that would be probably worth $1 million, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's going to keep going up. I mean... In the next 10 years, it'll be... Well, it's like, look at the 05, 06, 4 GTs.
Yeah.
Like, they're ridiculous. What are they asking for those now? $400,000 or $500,000?
Yeah, they're half a mil around there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, double what they were, you know, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, same thing with ACRs and all that stuff, yeah.
Do you see yourself ever getting an ACR?
Yeah.
Yeah? Or would you just, I'm guessing you keep up in the forums. Would you cheeseburger yours?
No, I can't do that. I
gotta ask.
I mean, no lie, like, his stuff looks really good. I'm not gonna knock that, but I can't up that. Like, to me, up badging is wrong. Like, just, if he didn't put the ACR badge on it, I wouldn't care. But I'm like, it's really insane.
That's literally what everybody says. It's like, we were fine with it until you put the badge on.
Like, if you would have not, no one would have, I guarantee no one would have said anything about him, that's a nice, like, club.
Yeah, yep. So, why did he badge it, you know? Just keep people guessing. But it's like when people do that with BMW M stripes on their hoods.
I don't understand. I'm like, why? Why do you guys do that?
Yeah, it's like, why can't you just be you?
Exactly.
Like, I'd be all extra about it.
People care so much what other people think.
So, yeah.
It's 100%.
Yeah, debadging's the way to go.
That's not what people guess. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, when I got the Whipple for my 2015 car, it comes with a bunch of stickers and badges saying
right.
Whipple Supercharged.
Oh, yeah,
stuff,
yeah, yeah.
I'm like, trash.
Trash.
Yep. No
yeah.
thanks.
Yeah.
I want you to not know what the hell's under there.
I know you may have told this story on Cooper's podcast, but I saw something about police or something about that. So, can you give me a little bit of a, who's driving this to Texas here? A little bit of a background, but I'm not really familiar with the story.
That's
fine. To
I'll do the short story. You can make a lot. Somebody who owns, or who is married to someone who owns another gym in town, told police that I was selling drugs out of my house to pay for my gym.
Okay.
So, to give you an idea, my gym costs like, I think, $11 or $13 million to build. I don't know if people not know about business, but you can't just go like pay cash for a gym.
Right.
That's not how it works. Obviously, I signed my life away, but that was like the thing. So then they heard about that. Then they went on my YouTube, and there was like old, like, I wouldn't call them racing videos, but like old videos of us screwing around the street. So they used that to get into my house. They raided my house over YouTube videos. They didn't find any drugs, obviously, because I wouldn't be sitting here if they did.
Yeah.
So then that was pretty much what happened. They like raided my house over YouTube videos, which is BS. So it was like the ticket was like a reckless driving ticket that I got.
Okay.
So.
Which you already dealt with.
I did,
yeah.
I just like, I couldn't post on social media like all of like 2021, most of 2022.
Oh wow, so they just did, what is it?
Because I just didn't want to say anything on accident or like whatever, have cops be like, well, see, you said it here. I didn't want any of that, so I was like, I'm just going to stay off social media. Which is hard because like, I do YouTube, not full time, but I do social media like part time. And obviously, like, owning a business, you have to like be on social media.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of hard to be honest.
That's huge. Social media for a business, especially. It's like you got to be on it. Like, I'm helping, because I help a few of the businesses back home, whatever.
Yeah.
Just manage social media,
yeah.
Like, content creation. The same thing applies to you. It's like every day you should be posting something.
You have to. That's the day. That's what I tell people. Like, you have to have, like, we have a social media manager, which if you can afford it, do it. If you can't, you're going to have to do it yourself. You have to post this for you all the time. Whether you own a business or you're just trying to do it for your own personal game. You live close all the time. So.
Yeah, that's good. And then, yeah, so the car stuff then, I mean, it's not your posting a ton of it though, were you?
No, they were literally just using it. Like, some of the videos, statute of limitations on most stuff is 2 years.
Okay.
They were trying to get back like 5 or 6 years to find something. Because I didn't really post that much, but they found like one or two videos where I either didn't blur out a license plate or I showed my speed or whatever it was. I could have fought those charges if I really wanted to. But they would have just, from what I was told, they were just going to drag it out each year. And then 5 years
so
later.
Hard.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I'm not going to stay off social media for 5 years. I have stuff I got to do.
They must have just doubled down. You would think after they didn't find anything, they'd just be like, okay, sorry, our mistake. We took this too far. Have a nice day.
You would assume so.
Yeah. It's stupid that people think you don't even have to have money to start a business. If you walk into a bank with a business plan and all this stuff and you show them numbers,
right.
Things like that, they're going to give you the money to open it because they see a game there. Possibly.
Right, yeah. I mean, the bank's trying to make money off of the money you're making.
Right. Even if you have $11 million to throw away, those guys don't usually use their own money to do that stuff.
Exactly. That's what people, even to this day, like have giant debt. Like, ask any business owner, they probably have a lot of debt. Like,
yep.
There's very few that I'm sure have no debt, unless you're like Dave Ramsey, that's a whole other thing. But yeah, most business owners, like, it's good to have, if it's good debt, we're in like credit
right.
Card, we're good. So,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Before we get too far into the show, I wanted to take a moment to talk about Raise a Hood. If your daily driver is having issues, aka your beater you got off Craigslist, Raise a Hood's telemechanics and AI tools can help you diagnose and solve the issues you may be dealing with for a fraction of the cost. All you have to do is add your car to the Raise a Hood garage to get started. You can provide the AI tool, also known as Gus, with the specifics of the issues you're having, and it'll help you narrow down what the culprit is. It's a great way to bounce ideas off of to figure out what actually might be the problem. You could then select from a variety of solutions to explore the cost and difficulty of doing the repair yourself versus taking it to a shop. If your car doesn't have detailed solutions yet, that's totally fine. Just go ahead and add your car to the garage for free, and that'll let the Razorhood team know what to focus on as they continue to develop and grow. If you want to try out Gus or chat with a telemechanic, go to Razorhood.com and add your car to the garage to get started. Use code MonoxideFree for a 1 month free subscription or Monoxide20 to save 20% on a 30-minute call with a telemechanic. Let's get back to the show.
So then, where's the process? Like, we've had, I have a supplement shop owner that's one of my clients and a good friend of mine. He's huge into cars, more on the Chevy side. But where's that process between the car community, between fitness and cars?
To me, it's always gone together.
Yeah.
Like, if you're really into fitness, you probably, like, either have a nice car, or you're into racing, or you like that, because the adrenaline is kind of the same, right?
Yeah.
It's super similar. So a lot of, like, gym owners, they've got nice cars. Or, like, people really into fitness, if they do bodybuilding or powerlifting, they are into cars as well. And I don't know if it's just because it's adrenaline-based, just because that's how racing is. And, I mean, you guys know, driven a car, right? So I think it's always been, to me, like, I've always put both of those together. So
I think it's also a mental aspect, too, because a lot of people typically are really active in fitness, but also really active at their goals and the rest of their life.
Right.
At least that's what we've noticed.
No, that's true. I agree with that 100%.
It's one of the hardest things. Like, I like to think that I'm semi-successful, but I'm not very good at this. It doesn't...
It's hard
so,
to...
Yeah,
it's
that's
hard
a lot
work.
Of work.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why, like, a lot of big CEOs, like, they have their own chef, because they have, like, the more fit they are, the better they're going to be business, all that stuff, which is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was too funny. Well,
you know, there's... something's got to go, and this is what I've been given. So
that's difficult. Okay, so how do you balance all that, right? Because you have a ridiculously large gym, 37,000 square feet, not
no,
small. Yeah. So then you obviously are running the business, trying to stay in shape. How do you balance all that?
I don't know what balance is.
That's fair. Well, what's struggling then?
I just, like, I wish I had more time. Like, it's even the same thing here. Like, I coach also, so, like, I'm in the gym. But also coach, so, like, I'm still texting my clients, like, changing meal plans and changing workouts or sending workouts because I'm not there. So, like, I really don't know what balance is. I have no clue. So anybody who is trying to find balance in business, like, good luck, I guess. Because to me, I don't know if there ever is. I like having way too much stuff going on.
Yes.
So we do events at my gym. We obviously are racing out here this week. You know, I have the business to run, so, like, I like having all that stuff going. Other people probably think I'm nuts, but, yeah, the more stuff I have, the better I am.
Yeah. Do you have kids?
No. Absolutely not.
Probably came over.
But as, this is my daughter over here, so, yeah, we, I've got all that going on all the time, too. It's,
yeah.
There's
I don't know how people have kids. Like,
yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah. You just get them big enough to where you can take them with you.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good point. But there's a good chunk of time where you're like, oh.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Where it's, like, just kind of on pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that was my parents, right? It's like, you know, until you turn, like, you're 15, 16, it's like, we can't do anything.
It's true.
And then you start living, and at least at this point, you've developed in life. So.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I literally have no, I have no balance, though. But it's my life.
Yeah, well, I'm on a 10-episode backlog of highlights. I have to hire an editor to kind of help
me
rip through. Yeah, so it's like I'm putting all profits and every dime into that because I need somebody to,
like, actually. That's good, though.
Well, it's like the last, like, 3 weeks, like, I've almost quadrupled my YouTube.
That's bad.
Which is crazy. It's just, I mean, I'm not sure if you're doing YouTube Shorts much with your channel, but.
I haven't got into that yet. Because I don't think for automotive stuff, you can't, like, podcasts, I think it's great.
Right.
For some stuff, I'm like, I don't know if that's going to work too well with shorts, so.
It's that consistency.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Because, like, I have another friend who's struggling, like, he's, you know, trying to, you know, do the trendy stuff.
Yeah.
The difficult part about trendy stuff is it's not you, you know, and that's probably where you find your success is you're just doing what you like to do.
Yeah, and that's how I've always been, like, I'm not going to, like, pretend to be someone else, or some people don't like that. I'm like, so I have to watch my stuff. If you see me on camera, that's how I'm in person. Just trust me, I've met several larger YouTubers than me who, like, you would see them in person, like, you're the same person.
Yeah.
It's just they have a personality on camera, and then when the camera's not on, they turn it off. I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So.
We met a gentleman at a late night gas station, and I don't know if I should bring him up.
Nah, I'm not bringing him up. It's like he knows who we are anyway. No, we met into Dan Rue at a gas station. There was like 5-6 of us just kind of chatting with him, and super different compared to like the personality on like Tuke's podcast, for example.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's different.
It's tough because like if you're making a lot of money for that personality, I could get it, but I don't know. For me, I can't pretend to be someone I'm not. I've always been super real. Like whatever you ask me, I'm gonna answer.
Yeah.
I can pretend to be someone else.
Probably put them in like an entertainer category.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
True though. Yeah. And if that's what you want to do, that's cool. It's not what I want to do.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, I love being out here. It's.
I don't know. Just revving randomly.
We were at PRI, so we did a podcast where like the last day as cars are leaving.
Oh, okay.
And some of those cars are like, you know, full blown race cars, like they are here, like 3,000 horsepower, just ridiculousness, and just shaking the whole building.
Oh, yeah.
So that was really fun.
Yeah.
So I love this energy. So next year, what I'd like to do is, if I could like find a trailer and just sponsor it. It's not, you know, it's only as
expensive. Hey, if you're telling me what he was telling me, like, I'll put a car in it, we'll bring a trailer and set up a tent.
Not bad,
like, yeah.
You can do podcasts all day.
Yeah.
All weekend.
I did not think, we want to disclose the price, but I don't think it was that cheap. I shouldn't say cheap.
It's not that bad, though.
For a whole week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a whole week. Something like
that.
Yeah,
we're going to have almost that into our air. Well, not that we would stay here. We'd still need a place to stay.
Speak for yourself. I'll sleep in the goddamn trailer.
You can get an RV, though.
Yeah, I have a camper, too. I can do that.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Like, there's people that sleep outside here, right?
Yeah, the Lily tuber right here. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, what's your favorite thing to watch out here? Rolls or digs?
I'm a dig racer. That's what I like. Roll racing is cool. Like, I watch the really high horsepower stuff. That's what I used to be in roll racing, obviously, when I used to shoot race a long time ago, not anymore. But the more you get into dig racing, that's like, that's to be like your actual racer.
No.
Roll racing, it's cool to watch when they're like 2 or 220, 230, but it's not my thing anymore.
I do get a little bored watching the lower classes, which, by the way, they're fast cars.
They are. It's just not, you know, if you 170, but the top guy is like 240, like, that's a big mile-hour difference.
Well, I was getting annoyed with all the fouling, too, or, you know, it was like, okay, so that run does nothing, or they go on a track,
right,
and then they slow down. I was like, that was uneventful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And dig rate and skill, like, roll racing, you're just, like, pressing the gas. Dig racing, there's still skill, you get off the light. So.
Yep.
It's super interesting because a lot of people are like, oh, drag racing is a big skill. Like, people that are outside of the world,
right,
they just don't understand.
I'm like, you sit in that seat and you wait for that light to come on, you tell me it's a big skill. So.
Yeah, we had somebody come on the podcast like 20 episodes ago, and they were like, I'll give you a 7-second car. I'll give you a whole week to figure it out. If you've never been in a fast car, good luck. It's never going to happen. It's not as simple as mashing the pedal.
No, it's no. I wish it was like that. No, it's not.
Yeah, it's always a fun discussion to have. The same thing applies. Like, I know some guys that love drag racing, but the road course is stupid.
No, I think road course is dope. Like, road course is badass. Like, if you have the right part of doing it, it's... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like, again, our mutual friend of ours, like, he road course is demon.
No way.
And, like, he was top 3 or 4. Like, he was, like, the GT2RS was
right
on the way from him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the corners.
Of course.
But it's like, there's a level of driver mods where, like, you can make up for a little bit of that weight.
You can. That's pretty badass, though. That's
You should talk about it. It's not a story. It's a story. Yeah, but it was super fun to watch. Like, I just love the roll racing because, again, F-Moto is here. Like, Kratos is both classes.
Yeah, see, I think that's cool where you can do both.
Yeah.
Where some of these guys, they only do roll racing. I'm like, dude, line up. Like,
but the thing is a lot of money goes into both. Like, figuring it out, like, dialing it in, because, and that's where Kratos is super cool, is because having that car set up to do both is really, really unique.
Oh, very unique, yeah. I think it's super cool, though, yeah, because he's got that car figured out.
Yeah. Or are they switching tunes in between?
Oh, yeah, every single run.
Yeah.
Some of these guys are just, you know, throw on the laptop and just make adjustments. And it's fun seeing, like, how simple some cars are.
Yeah.
They're just fast, and other ones are just, like, you know, just crazy tunes, whatever.
No, yeah, 100%.
What about on the building slash tuning front? What builds have you done, I suppose?
I did a Hellcat build. It was Bill Mother, Bill Trans, stock supercharger. I went 890s. That was like 3 years ago. It's like 3 years ago, 890s on a 4,700 pound car was pretty good.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's like whatever. But Yeah, so that was fun. But then I got to a point where I'm like, I'm not going to cut up. Like, it's full interior, like, drove normal. So I was like, I'm not going to cut this car up. So I sold it. And I just was like, I don't want to cut up something so nice. So that's the hard part. You want to push your car to go a certain mile an hour, a certain time. But then it's like, at what point is it only a race car and you can't drive it anymore?
Yeah.
So then it's front end balance is hard.
Yeah, they just had a cooling in your passenger seat where it used to be.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. The difference between that and the street car is just it gets uncomfortable.
Yeah. 100%.
They start having to trailer everywhere and all that, which is cool to see. Like, we went to Cache Days. That was kind of cool.
No, I mean, seeing the builds and stuff are awesome. It's just for me personally, I really have zero desire to go that fast because, like, I know what it takes, I know what it costs, and like that's a lot of time and money to put. So you might as well have a backup engine, a backup trans. That way, if something happens, you're always going to be able to swap it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like the idea of having just dedicated race car either. Like, I want to be able to drive it around, mm-hmm. then take it to the track.
Yeah. That's why I think like 1,200 horsepower, like that's plenty, like to do what you need to do. Any more, you start creeping into that race car. Or, yes, it's a street car technically, but. If you don't have AC or wiper blades, like, is it really a street car?
Yeah, funny you bring up AC. We're going to have a nice 15-hour drive back with no AC.
Oh, God.
Somebody needs 2 10,000 lumen lights in the front. I put light bars in my grill, and I mounted one back a little bit. It ran, rubbed on my AC
windows,
put a little tiny hole in it, so now all of my stuff leaked out. But
windows down the whole time?
Hey, I'm all right. Yeah. Well, we get to a certain point going north where you don't need
it. That's
true. Yeah.
It's a good time of year. That's true.
Well, we're coming up again. After March, everything kind of melts up north.
Yeah.
Have you spent much time up north?
I bought a car there once. I really like to go, you know, like I told you, I want to go to Minnesota again. But yeah, one of the guys that owns a dealership up there, I go through. I bought my Red Eye up there. And actually, I bought my Trackhawk from them too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Is it Dodge at Birdsville?
I'm not even going to have this rental. It's been a couple years, I can't remember.
It's going to stop every Dodge dealership.
It is in the Minneapolis metro area-ish, though. Like, it's in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It was pretty. Like, I've never been there. And I was super pretty. I wish I could have stayed more than an hour. But.
It's so weird when people say, like, I have a buddy from Colorado. I was like, man, this is different. I'm sick of the mountains in Colorado.
Yeah, I keep getting it. It's very green where we're at between all the grass and trees.
Yeah, it was super pretty. I liked it a lot. So, yeah.
Did you say you picked up 2 cars up there?
Yeah, and actually... I bought 3 cars actually. My first Viper, I went up there, and then I bought a Hellcat Red Eye, and then Trackhawk. So yeah, I bought 3 cars up there. 2 of the 3 I drove down. So the Viper I drove home, and then the Red Eye I drove home. The Trackhawk I shut down.
Those Red Eyes are fun, man. Like, my dad really considered just getting one, you know, instead of the AMG GTR.
Yeah.
It's just a fun car. It's really not amazing at anything, but it's so fun.
Excellent. Depends what you want.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can just rip it, you know, 797 horsepower, whatever you want.
Yeah, just all on tap. I used to, because again, I grew up with both car guys, but I really love this GT500.
No, those are badass cars.
Yeah.
Those are badass cars.
What's next on the, I guess, on the build list? I mean, would you ever go to route a twin turbo Viper?
If I moved, like, the problem is where I live, like, I would love to be able to do that. I don't know where I'm going to drive it. So, like, I think for me, what I would really like to do is, like, a 9-liter heads and cam build. That's what I'd probably really like to do. Because unless, like, you're out here either street racing or if you're at the track, like, I mean, where else are you going to use your twin turbo Viper?
Yeah.
So, the 9-liter was something that I really want to do because I think it's a really good option if you're not trying to go balls to the wall in twin turbo and stuff. So, if I ever did it, it would probably be with Enkimoto. Their builds are nuts. So,
there's a reason they hold the record for 3 of the 5 generations. So, yeah.
Do you use the shop here for your other builds? That you got somebody local here that you use?
My brother does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my brother has his own shop. So, like, anything that I do now, like, moving forward, he just opened, like, a year and a half ago. He was a big Hellcat person also. That's how he started. And he was a Mustangs. Made his name in Mustangs. So anything that I do, I just go to his shop. Because I can trust him, obviously, he's my brother, but he does really good work as well. So if I ever decide to like build a motor or do whatever, not in the Viper realm, it'll go through my brother.
Okay.
So, yeah. in my realm, I'm like, you need to go to either Calvo or NCH. Like, there's really no one else you really want to go to.
For yeah. But they're just go-tos. You know, I haven't seen the, what I'm allowed to see, at least, with the craftsmanship of the model team is awesome. But when I shot,
That thing was badass.
Yeah, that GT-SR was sweet. And I think it was a lower, I guess.
Yeah, the lower end mill.
Like 1400 horse, whatever. Which is crazy to think that's the lower end.
I know,
yeah.
It's lower end.
But yeah, and you know, those wheels, like throwback wheels, it just looked amazing.
Yeah, I love the way that those came out. Yeah, because I know the guy who owns that wheel company, the B2 Forge.
Yeah, and it's totally.
Yeah. He's got some good, really good wheel designs.
Yeah, I know that he's done some wheels for like a couple of the R8s up north as well. It's just super cool.
No, it's awesome. Yeah.
What other ventures do you want to get into in the car scene? Like, would you ever open something like a wheel company or anything like that? Or see how things shake out with what you're currently doing?
With all the stuff my brother has to deal with from the shop perspective, like performance shop, no. Absolutely no. Because unless like you're dealing with like, no offense to anybody, Lamborghini people, Viper people, RA people, like people who have money who aren't going to bug you, where they're just going to write you a check and say, give me the car when it's done.
Yeah.
The other, like, Mustang, it's all the same, Mustang, Chevy, Hellcats, all that stuff, like, the lower end, like, normal people are the ones who bug the most, like, for shops. And it just, I would never open a performance shop.
It's a pretty common thing we get from any shop owner that we've had on here, so, yeah, it's, we get it.
Yeah. It's like, the people who have the money don't care, like, they'll write you a check, just tell me when it's done. It's the other people who are, like, scraping by to, like, build their motor, like, is it done yet? Is it done? Hey man,
the Mustang guy.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so that's not something that I never want to do. As far as like the other stuff, like wheels and tint and all that, yeah, I want to get into that. But as far as like getting into automotive stuff, not really.
You can't ever ruin your hobby in a way. Is it for people?
Yeah.
Just gonna get sick of it.
No, it's true though. 100%. I think that's why a lot of like performance shop owners don't race anymore. Like very few actually go out and race because they gotta deal with customers all day long, and the last thing they want to do is go to a race where probably some of their customers are gonna be bugging the crap out of them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Especially like imagine like you know if we had cash days or whatever yesterday or whatever we wanted to talk. It's like imagine you get 6 of your customers there.
Yeah.
But somebody breaks something. It's like where are they gonna go to?
Yeah.
Just gonna enjoy yourself.
No, exactly. Yeah. And like one of my old tuners from my Hellcat, he's racing here, but I know he's tuning like 8 or 10 cars here. So it's hard, though, talking to him, it's even hard to balance his own car when he's just tuning. He's not even working anymore, he's just tuning.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Which shop is that? Is that CH2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the one big thing. That car's fast. I've seen it now like a handful of times. That's the orange one, right?
Yeah, he's amazing. He's the best Hellcat or Hemi tuner there is, I don't care what anybody says. I was with him 3.5-4 years ago before he got big, and then when I sold mine, it's like I saw the business just explode, which is cool because he deserves all of that. He's amazing and he's really quick. Like usually a tuner, you like text him, it's like the next day. He'll send you an email like 5 minutes.
Next day would be great. Sometimes next week or next month.
Right though.
Yeah.
It's bad. Some of these guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I remember when we had Mike Johnson on, we were talking about, you know, his issues with some Mustang platforms.
Yeah.
Just
it's
like
I'm at a plateau now where I gotta pick a tuner and I'm going back and forth. And I know Palm Beach is here and London, those guys are here.
I would suggest London.
That's the one I keep leaning towards. So
yeah, that's who my brother uses.
They're
really good. Now they're busy, don't get me wrong, but they have several people who work for London, so
yeah.
I would use London.
Yeah. No, I was actually gonna pick your brain after this or talk to your brother. So.
Talk to my brother. He'll tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Been everything in between. But Lund, from what I've seen firsthand, like I don't have a Mustang, but
right.
He does really good work. He's here, like tuning cars. So he's. Well, you can go talk to him if you want to. Yeah.
Sure. Mine's on a trailer. I'll go get him.
Yeah, we were on emergency parts and tuning his car while we were down here.
So
everybody's asking what's up to it.
Yeah.
Well, they were talking, you know, 15-hour drive down. They're like shopping for pulleys and tuners and stuff on my way down here. And I'm like, all right, guys, just I came down here. It wouldn't matter, though, if I had – I should have brought a Toyota Camry. You can't drive anywhere. I mean, I got my crew set at the speed limit around here because it's insane.
Yeah, like Houston – because you guys have been in 2K in Houston.
Yeah, or I have.
Yes. That was different. Like this, I pulled out and there's like 20 cops just waiting.
Yeah.
I heard they were pulling over people just because if you had a radio on, just driving around all
yeah.
So.
I told you to turn on your radio the other day. He's just blasting it as we like, everybody's like dead silent at this speed, like, you know,
yeah.
Underground sort of heat. He starts blasting the radio, like, turn down
cops or but I don't blame him. Street,
you know what? If I was in their shoes, I'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I would be making setting the standard this year too.
You have to, right? Because like, if they do a little bit leeway, then
yeah, let's get out of hand really quick. And Houston was me and Sean, we were about to help get Durango down last year.
Yeah.
We had so many issues with that stupid car, but just because like you know, wilds don't fit unless you shave down.
You
can
shave the cow. It's exactly like the track cars. It's
yep.
Yeah,
so we didn't get to shave it down nearly enough, and then, fell off Jack's day and all that fun stuff.
Did it really?
Oh, yeah, that was a fun story. That was one of those Chinese Jack's fans. Yeah, that was rough. But anyways, yeah, we threw the all seasons back on, and that was our trip. But we only got, like, 3 hits in.
That's it, really?
That's it. Everywhere we went, it was getting shut down. And granted, we were late to the party on a lot of information, too.
Yeah. It is definitely who you know, like, for sure.
I'm going to take a second to support the home team. Many of you know the podcast is based out of Ratified Motorsports, who makes some of the sickest builds out here. That dyno you all hear downstairs has seen some serious cars. Whether you're looking for a standard tune for your cute little Volkswagen to a full-on Supra or RS3 build, you should give Ratified a call to get the sauce. Check out ratifiedmotorsport.com/performance to see what they can do for you. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah. But one of the things we attended, over 1,000 people. It was way too.
First 2K I went to was like a couple years ago in Houston. And I always knew it was huge, and then you go and you're like, oh my god, like
it's a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's wild. Like you pull into a gas station, it was like 400 or 500 cars in like a normal like little mini gas station. Like, how is it like? I don't know how you.
It took us an hour to leave a normal gas station last year because we were barricaded in.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like,
because
people like were just parking in the aisles, everything. It was a crazy. It was a 1320 meter. Or
official
one.
Yeah.
I didn't think you could use all the pumps at a Buc-ee's ever.
Right.
And then you go in there and there's people waiting to get gas because there's so many cars there.
It's
wild. Yeah. So I'm just curious, how much, when it comes to this passion, how much do you and your brother share this passion? You guys always been kind of side by side because I know you guys are out here racing together.
No, we always, so like when I had my Hellcat Charger, he had his Mustang. So like we like to travel together and do stuff. So it's cool because we're in the same class. Obviously some of the slower ones, but no, we like racing together. It's fun. Just because me and him work so much, it's cool to kind of get away. Obviously, I'm still working, like even though I'm here, but it's cool for me to like have something that I can kind of look forward to. Like, because next month I'll go to Kansas City for Street Car Takeover, so like I got something to look forward to in a month or so. I'm just kind of for that. So.
And does that go back even further before the Hellcat and the Mustang, like, even when you guys were like younger?
Yeah, we just could never afford anything.
Right.
So it was one of those things. But yeah, it's always been a passion of the cars and stuff. We've both always been into cars.
Did you have like a dad or an uncle or any of that had cars?
No, I grew up with a single mom. So
okay.
Yeah, so it was just kind of my dad, before he passed away, was really into cars. But he passed away when I was pretty young. So it's always just been something my brother kind of picked up on the side.
Okay. It's a good hobby to have, keeps you out of trouble.
Yes, well, supposedly.
It gets you in and out of trouble.
Well, sure.
We saw it got him into trouble, he didn't even think it was going to happen.
Sure.
That's such a weird one, man.
Like,
yeah. I've always been very cautious about what I put out there when it comes to, like, you know, plates and stuff like that. But even, like, us on the highlights, I was like, yes, like, all right, I got to be careful. Like, funny one. So one time we had an episode, and I put a highlight up. Turns out, a famous YouTuber's phone number on an accident. I have a screenshot, I don't remember.
Oh, no way.
And I got 100,000 views while we were recording. And I was like, all the comments were like, really bold of you to put the phone number out there. I was like, delete. You know, it cost me some money, but I was like, let's do the right thing here.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, man, you gotta double check some things.
You know, I tell people, it just takes one person who doesn't like you to turn in all your stuff. That's all.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it cost some of my friends a lot of money just because they pissed off the wrong person.
Yeah, just make one person mad, that's all it takes.
Yeah. Yeah, but
skiing for the first time.
Well,
here.
I got some questions about the Demon, the 170. Yeah. Do you have plans to turn it up? I mean, is it...
Not for a while,
I'll be honest.
Like,
yeah.
I want to take it as far as I can, as far as it's boring, and then I'll decide from there.
Okay.
It's hard because, like, it has a warranty, so I can... I mean, I literally got the oil change at the dealership before I got here.
Yeah.
So it's hard because, like, part of me is like, man, I could literally throw on a pulley and probably run like 3 to 4 times faster. But the other part of me is like, I really want to cross that bridge. Like, because then what's that? You just go down, you go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's cool being able to show up to a race, but I'm the only like stock engine car.
Yeah.
We were getting that these last couple of nights. We had people going, oh, what's done to it? I was like, I have a JLT cold air intake on it. Like, that's all.
So it's kind of cool because then if I'm at the track and it breaks, I just go to Dodge and give me a new engine or a transmission or whatever it is. So it's hard to want to break that.
Have you been filling it up with corn at all?
Oh, yeah.
Game all set. So how is that? I mean, do you have to really worry about the quality of it or...
No, if it comes from the factory, I bet they do flex. They got to do... That's one thing, when you get something from a manufacturer, they have to make it pretty dummy-proof. Otherwise, they're going to... They go out the door and some idiot puts whatever in it and it blows up, and they're going to have that happen all over the place.
Yeah. No, it's either been on Ignite or 1-ethanol almost its whole life.
Okay.
So...
It's no pump E85 yet.
I did one pump E85 just when I first got it because I didn't have access to Ignite or 1-ethanol. But now it's... If I'm racing, it's either Ignite or 1-ethanol. So this weekend, because we have a whole 55-gallon drum of it, we're doing 1-ethanol.
Okay. That's nice because it's tense right there.
I know. Yeah.
Super. Did they bring a bunch of 1-ethanol?
Yeah, they did.
They
brought a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any preference between Ignite and 1-ethanol or not really?
I will say this. My car reads a lot higher with 1-ethanol.
Okay.
With Ignite, the highest it would read would be like 89. With this, it's reading like 92, 93.
Wow.
So,
that's a difference.
It's a big difference. You know, is it going to make a difference on the track? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? But just tell you what it means.
How easy is it to drive that car down the track?
It's not terrible. I mean, it's... Because it's still a stock car, so like, it's not really like loud. It doesn't shake very much. So
it's cushy.
On air ride, it's very comfortable. So
are you using all of the bells and whistles, launch control, all that stuff?
So I only have 300 miles in the car.
Yeah.
Well, so it's not even yet.
No, I'm still foot braking it.
Okay.
So I don't have access to the launch control, the transmission thing. I don't have access to any of that until 500 miles. So.
Okay. Do you use that kind of stuff when it is available to you?
I want to try it for sure.
Because I noticed my car has all these bells and whistles too, but I'm just kind of an old school guy, so like I kind of know.
I mean, it would be nice to just literally move your thumb and then that's all you have to do, right?
Right, yeah.
Your foot's on the gas, you just move your thumb. So having a trans brake would be awesome, but for right now I'm just doing foot braking.
Okay.
So I have like 200 more miles, then we'll see what the car actually can do.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure like with the suspension stuff, I should be able to cut like a 1-2-1 or a 1-2-2 with the car. So it's a...
Yeah, dude, the prep out here has just been crazy. Yeah, have you ever... Okay, here's a question. Have you ever had any oh-shit moments racing?
I was at Houston Raceway Park. It's probably been 5 years now. I was making a pass. I did like a 9.3 in my car, came back around, went out for a second, went right back. I blew the motor, going like 120. That was a little scary. Burned the air ride. Light on it, so like my car went psh, like so. I'm like driving,
wow.
Didn't hit the wall,
yeah.
You know? But yeah, going was a little scary. It seemed much smoother, like 120 or 30. Yeah.
How about that R8 crash that happened this week?
It was pretty gnarly.
I got it in slow mo. I said slow mo on accident because I had this cool brain where it's my camera and I'm over.
Okay.
I had to do it because Minneapolis Mopar was like, did you get the video? I'm like, what video? So I started doing that when I tried it.
Good idea to do it.
Yeah, just crazy seeing them take out all those cones.
True. Yeah,
those. Not as many crashes this year as previous years.
No, but that just tells you, I think, with the track prep, it's just that
track.
Yeah. Because to me, that's what it just comes down to. Like, in Houston, I never saw them go all the way down when they're prepping. And these guys, they are going all the way down prepping.
You have to, with some of these cars, especially like a car like Grego's, last year, year before, like, just broke up right away. It's like, because they were only doing halfway up the track.
Yeah.
It's like, most of these cars, they start rolling into coals, so
exactly.
The back half anyway.
Yeah,
yeah, I've seen them come alive halfway across the track sometimes.
Yeah, it's true though.
Yeah, it's a bummer that, you know, the Hemphill got eliminated when they did, because like, you saw the pass, it was 225. That was way faster than the next fastest fight, which was Fabrizio's, you know, fight with Calvo.
Yep.
The 205, which is just nuts.
Yeah.
So, it's a bummer. Was that the team you were rooting for?
What?
And Pimoka?
Oh, I just like watching both of them, honestly. I think they both do, they're totally different shops, like Pimoka and Calvo. Like, Pimoka to me is like very calculated, like super clean. Calvo to me is more like the hillbilly version of it, but he's, it's not the right word, but you know what I mean? Like, the more like, I don't know, they're just way, like, he's the super clean, like, Pimoka is super clean, Calvo is like the.
Right. This is a good analogy here.
Step child, you know what I mean?
Yeah. This is a better analogy we can use. I'm sure it'll come back to us at some point.
But they both do amazing
work. Right.
Like, they both put out badass Vipers.
They're fast.
They're all extremely fast. And, like, everybody's Vipers are fast because of those two shops, because they compete with each other.
Exactly. That's huge. Like, you would struggle to see one of them survive out of the other because they constantly push each other.
They do.
For better or for worse. But yeah, I mean, they're right across from each other over there.
Yeah.
I think they were like, sharing tacos the other day
with each other.
So
that's
what you want. You want that friendly rivalry.
You have to have it.
At least from the outside, that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
So it's super cool.
Yeah.
That's all most of this racetrack stuff is. As I got into it, it's not like you see on, like, you know, the Discovery Channel makes the Street Outlaws look like everybody's fighting and redneck and shit on the street, and it's like you come here, people are cordial
or whatever.
Absolutely.
It's super nice.
Yeah.
Some of the nicest people we ever meet will be in these trailers over here. Like,
yeah,
you're
a competitor.
Exactly.
Yep.
They do not care. So
and then I heard you keep bringing up that you're slow, and that's the other thing too, that if people are worried about being slow. The cars are insane. If you're on it, when you get on the track, if we win or not, like the adrenaline rush that you get, 100%. It's such a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like to just race for fun now.
Yeah.
Like, if I win, cool. Like, I've done all that stuff. I want to try and win all that. I'm way past that. Like,
yeah.
So I'm like, this car is perfect for me right now. It's stock. Like, if I beat somebody, awesome. If I lose, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I still get to drive my car home. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It comes in levels, man.
Like, it does.
I noticed that as some guys get older and like further along in their careers, especially if they own businesses, it's you have more to lose, and it's like coming to the track like once a month or however often.
I'm saying
it seems like the best way to get that energy out.
I totally agree. Yes.
Yeah.
So like winning is great. Everybody wants to win, but I'm like, I'm not gonna lose sleep. Oh my god, I lost or whatever.
Right.
If I make a good pass, that's literally all I care about. So.
What about this track that you guys? So what's the story behind that? I saw it on Facebook. You guys bought a track?
So we didn't buy it.
Okay.
So I tried to make that clear in the video, but we didn't buy it. So like my track, it's a quarter mile track. It's got a lot of acreage, but it's still your country track. They don't make enough money to put back into the track. So me and my brother are pretty well known inside of the city that we live in. So I have an idea of raising funds to make it like a top tier facility. So I talked to the owner about it. He's obviously all about it. We hold drag events there. We do roll racing events. We do flash out shootout, which is jig racing at the drag strips. We hold events there. I just want to be able to bring bigger events in that I don't run. Like, I've talked to several larger promoters, much, much larger than I'll ever be, about bringing the races in. We're low. The only way I've The only thing I do is fix the racetrack, make the parking lot better, make the pits better. The track itself is not bad, but like shutdown needs to be redone, the actual return row, that needs to be redone. So that's kind of the plan. Finishing up the business proposal for like potential sponsorships, because it's going to cost probably like $2 million or so. But I want to do like a drift pad there, a runout pad, so that way like not only can we do car events or car shows, we can have like safe spot for younger kids instead of doing like dumbass takeovers, you know, the street light. We can go to our like 500 square foot by 500 square foot section.
That would be huge. I'm serious. Do you guys have a takeover problem down there?
No, but I just want to give kids like a spot to go. This probably sounds super weird. We do burnout competitions in the gym. So like there's actually awesome. Like burnout pad in the gym. So I wanna like move all that stuff.
That's super.
My gym is like it's very different.
That's
fine.
It's
yeah.
So yeah, I don't know how that would be so good. Just
wait
a year. Do you think
they're
gonna
get back out to race? They said
about
an hour and a half. They're drying the track right now.
Okay. Do you gonna get back out there? That'd
be great to do another run. Seat time, man. It's all through out. So yeah. Especially me changing the tires over. So I've already figured it out. Figured out tire pressure. So next run I get, I just smash the gas.
It's one of the reasons I get a little bit of drag stuff, and I'm like, 10 seconds sit. 10 seconds, you know, when I road course, you get 30 minute session on the track. It's pretty exciting.
Drag racing is hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
Go down for 10 seconds.
Yeah. It is awesome though.
It is. Yeah. It's just, the amount of time it takes, like get in the lanes and it takes forever.
Yeah.
It is a lot of waiting, especially when it rains like this.
Yes.
It's a really big, bad time suck.
It is, especially like towards the end of the week. Like if it was like Monday, Tuesday, whatever, but like on Saturday when you've got 30,000-40,000 spectators here, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It sucks for them especially.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun, man. We were hosting the Mud Nationals over in the parking lot.
Yeah.
We just got in the truck and we were just filming people being stuck in the mud.
That's awesome.
You know, some people were willing to help. We weren't those people, but
well, we come from an area where we can get, 2 feet of snow in one night, so
right.
Like getting stuck is a sport where we're at.
Yeah,
so
it really
like,
is.
They just don't know how to power through some of that stuff. So there was some Toyotas and things that just didn't realize what they were doing.
Okay.
We made it fun for them though. We were clapping and cheering on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there was this lady playing supervisor over there now, and I was like, it was so funny. She's like telling her boyfriend to go help.
Oh my god.
It was
that's
the funniest thing.
That's really funny. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think we've been here for like an hour and a half. I mean, I know
sure.
We're taking a lot of your time, but one of the things that, why don't you pop the usual three?
Yeah. Oh, you're about to take my job?
I was about to take a job.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to send it back to the agency.
I'm actually waiting for this question.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So at the end of every episode, we'd like to ask our guests to pick three cars, track car, a daily driver, and show car. You have an unlimited budget, whatever you want. What are you putting in your garage?
Mine is pretty lame because this probably sounds so corny. I'm just lucky to own the things that I do. So, my daily would literally be the car that I daily right now, which is a track car. I'm blessed enough to have the things that I do. To me, that's like the perfect car that's ever come out of Stellantis, FCA, Dodge, whatever you want to call them nowadays.
It's a pretty common thing I hear from track car owners.
Yeah.
They love them.
Yeah, it's the perfect car.
Yeah.
Show car would probably be Twin Turbo Viper, honestly. And then a track car, I'm a big fan of Porsche, so since Dodge isn't coming out with anything cool in the next whoever knows how long, Porsche is probably what I'm gonna move to eventually. So it'd be the new GT3 RS. Because I drove a 2018 GT3 RS, whatever the denomination is, I don't know, like a 991 or whatever they're called.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the most fun car I've ever driven. That car is nuts to me. So that would probably be my track car.
I don't have to drive this GT3 RS. I've only driven the GT3, and the guy I borrowed it from, he was like, that's 70% of the RS.
It's not, it's wild what they can do. And it sounds badass. It's like a go-kart is what it's crazy. Because they don't weigh anything.
Yeah,
they're
super
light. So, my three are kind of lame. But
I feel like that's a good Dodge guy answer, though. I feel like, because they don't have, you're right, a good track car. They like big, fast bows, so.
Yeah, hopefully they bring something back, man. I don't know, we'll see.
It's hard to say. I think it's going to depend on who the president is.
I was going to say, we have a few red administrations here to bring some fast cars back.
That's true, though. I think that's probably what's going to have to happen, in my opinion, so, yeah.
Yeah, dude, I love being down here. Texas, I it's either this or Tennessee for me, I feel.
Me, it's Texas or Florida.
Yeah. I got family down in Florida, down in Jacksonville, so I wouldn't mind that. They had, I went for a walk, there was just snakes everywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the same down here, but.
It depends on the city. Maybe there's snakes and rodents and all that good stuff, but yeah.
We're just not used to it from up north.
It's the same where you guys are from, no. Yeah.
I've been to Texas quite a few times. My dad went to high school in Lampasas.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so he's kind of a Texas guy.
Okay.
We like what you guys are all about down here anyway.
Hey man. Well, I'm from California, so like this is like completely 180, but
yeah.
You couldn't paint it and move it as California.
Well, if you want to feel like you're going to California, just go hang out in Austin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But even then that's not that bad, like,
right.
California, just every time I go and visit, I'm cool for like 2 or 3 days and I'm like, this is what I want to live here.
It was cool when I went there. I went there to pick up a Noble with a friend.
Yeah.
And it was cool. It was nice and quiet because it was like peak COVID. So
yeah,
it was nice and relaxing.
So you didn't have to deal with people. That was your problem. That's why you liked it.
Yeah.
The state is beautiful.
The state itself is great.
Yeah.
People suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do have to ask though, what's the inspiration behind the rap theme?
I grew up in a really terrible area. So like bandanas were a big thing. So I've always been a fan of Paisley, and that's kind of what it's feeding. So, yeah, and then there's a sugar skull on the front, kind of like on the drinks. So I grew up in a, like, a really Hispanic area. I've always been a fan of sugar skulls, so that's kind of why that's on the drink, and then that's also why they're on the hood of my car. Yeah.
It's super cool. Like, I mean, whenever I see it in the 4U feed on Instagram, it's just
it's
different.
It's different. Yeah.
But it's well executed different. There's bad different. No, I agree.
I try to make it like where it looks good. So like the new track rock ride is Miami Vice inspired. So I think it looks good. So
I've had this question in the back of my head. You weren't the guy that smashed his windshield, were you? On a demon? That was somebody else, I think, a few years ago. Okay. I saw a yellow demon. I'm like, it's not the same guy, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one that did it as like a stunt or whatever.
I didn't know someone did that.
Well, it was like years ago
really?
When it first came out. Yeah, I'll have to dig it up. But it was like a stunt, some guy like
really?
Came out, tire iron or whatever.
No, that was definitely not. I want to whoop somebody's ass.
I'm just curious if you were into stunts like that. So.
No, not anymore. I'm too old for that, dude.
Yeah.
Well, sweet. On that note, where can everybody find you?
You can follow me on Instagram and CaliBoyKev. You can follow me on YouTube. Kevin Van Boris. If you want to know more about my gym or anything that I do, you can literally, sounds kind of like, you can just Google my name and like I'll have it on your phone.
What's the name of your gym?
Contagion Athletics.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the name of your brother's shop?
Coyote Direct.
Okay.
Makes it easy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Name just quick. It's like Coyote Direct.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I followed on Instagram. Just
yeah.
For Texas.
Yeah. So it's, you know, for them, it's Coyote. So it's an awesome name. It's very easy.
Yeah.
Someone will remember. Yeah.
Well, that platform is amazing.
Oh,
I would say that Coyote is one of the greatest things that ever come around.
Yeah, you can't, I don't care if you're what person, you can't talk crap on the Coyote.
No.
They're doing incredible things.
Yes. I keep busting all these Chevy guys. Balls on there.
So I love seeing me go back and forth because
yeah.
I'm just dodging, I'm just hanging out on the side. Yeah.
But we all just see the takeover stuff, is all we picture you dodge back.
I know, see,
yeah, right,
say,
yeah.
Like, you're running a takeover, I promise.
Yeah.
Here's a question then. So, okay, dodge guys with a takeover guys.
Yeah, well, I think that we got to move away from this Mustang crowd killer thing because I'm seeing way more like. Challengers and
yeah.
Charters hitting people, like just tail whipping them and making them go flying.
Those are hilarious videos.
Yeah.
So what are Chevy guys then? Because like you get we're takeovers, you're crowd killers. What are Chevy guys? Great. Now I have a fucking cut. Jesus. I don't need to get canceled. All right. Well, that's we have a fourth thing to worry about now.
Yeah,
we'll stay off camera.
Yeah.
But other than that, thank you so much for coming.
No,
out.
Thanks for having me on. Finally glad we got to meet
yeah.
up. Whenever I come to Minnesota, I'll hit you guys up for sure.
Well, that, yeah, the studio is a lot more professional. Things aren't as broken. No IT issues there most of the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, super cool. I'm glad that we were both pretty stubborn on making this happen. So.
Yeah, it's good, dude. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And you guys know where to find me. We'll see you all next time.
All right.